the people taking those develop with drug resistance. This is a huge problem. Okay, it's a ticking time bomb. When you're giving people adulterated meds, so it's ineffective, watered down drugs, what happens? You know, the virus, the bacteria, whatever, either mutates or you don't kill it. It sticks with you, and that's what's gone on here. This massive problem of drug resistance. There were reports that came out in 2008 highlighting this, 2014, and then again in 2018. The government of the UK commissioned a report, and they're like, this is a massive, you know, ticking time bomb that will have enormous, you know, economic and demographic effects going forward in the developing world. And you know what? The people at the FDA, the people at PEPFAR, the people at the Gates Foundation, the people at the Clinton Foundation either knew or should have known what was going on. And you can't tell me that they didn't know. You know, there's no doubt, because the FDA is hitting Ranbaxy, you know, with these annual, consent decrees and injunctions. Like, you know, you can't keep doing this. If there's one book that people want to read, there's this huge topic now going on in the country on problems with the supply chain of pharmaceuticals coming to our country from India and China. One book that people should read, written by a woman by the name of Catherine Eban. In fact, Michael, if you can get her as a guest, that would be a fabulous guest, called Bottle of Lies. In Bottle of Lies is the story of Ranbaxy. The primary source of information is the whistleblower Dinesh Thakur. It is a devastating read in terms of the supply chain and the incredible abuse in the supply chain of drugs. And this is what the Clinton Foundation, the Gates Foundation, and World Health were involved in distributing throughout the developing world. So you want to talk about racism? That's real racism.
And don't forget,
Larry, I was going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, as Gilead tries to step forward with remdesivir as some sort of panacea for this coronavirus, are they not the same company that the U.S. government is in an open litigation against for patent right?
That is exactly right. That case was filed in late 2019, patent infringement. Gilead filed a counterclaim in late April. That's an ongoing case
in the federal courts.
That's right.
It's just all the same people, Mike.
And don't forget, the FBI looked at their relationship with Ranbaxy as well. So these guys were under the...
So basically, whether it's the DOJ, the FBI, the FDA, the IRS, these people need to do their job. That's basically what's going on. These people need to do their job, and they can't, you know, have this regulatory capture and protect these entities, whether they're tax-exempt or private enterprises. You know, the public gets it. And you know what? We're just a couple of Irish guys, you know, willing to go to the mat for the American taxpayers, and we're not backing down.
We're not backing down. It's the space is too large, and the 501c3 space. This is a case with that specific, based upon their own documents that they filed. None of these are our documents. They're the foundation's documents. They're the ones who filed it. We wouldn't know anything about Gilead or Ranbaxy if it wasn't for what they filed. So we're just following what they filed, and they just need to pay tax. I mean, it's just that simple. It's, you know, we're not criminal investigators anymore. We don't have badges and guns and all that. We're just following the facts. And when we have a consensus amongst tax attorneys that say, yeah, you got to pay tax on this, then I don't know what the obstacles are. I don't know what, you know, is the holdup, to be quite frank. It is what it is.
You mean with your case, right? In tax court.
Well, you know, once again, it's obviously we have the coronavirus and all this going on, and the courts are closed and all this stuff. But the reality is, you know, we have that filed well before the coronavirus. So there's a lot to it, and the judge would certainly need to sift through it and take his time to get to the bottom line. But the American taxpayer needs these types of cases to be successful. It's $1.9 trillion, the 10th largest economic unit in the world, running through this country tax exempt. When you have endowments, $43 billion endowments, billions earn 5% on that. So if you earn 5% on that, you make $2 billion a year, you don't pay tax on it. I mean, it's just crazy.
And Michael, while we've touched on a lot today, and again, our case is under seal, so we can't go there.
I welcome
sharing with your listeners that we never show all our cards.
Well, that's smart.
We're not allowed to.
Well, that's smart, and I think that's there's so many things running through my head, and I actually take notes when I talk to guests. And we can tackle this later. I've taken up enough of your time, and we could go on forever talking about this. So we'll have to split it up, and we'll do something in the future. But just one thing that jumps out at me with this new wrinkle with coronavirus and what looks like another round of charity schemes. The big difference, it looks like to me, is now Gates is finally not on the side where he gives money. He's on the side where he's going to get money. He's on the supply side of these vaccines, and that's scary.
Well, that's a big change. That's why I called the previous case the JV game. We're in the JV game. This is now the vaccine game.
Right.
Some of the bigger players are now no longer donors, but they're going to be suppliers of medicines, which are paid for by the Global Fund, World Health Organization. These medical medicinal funds that all these countries donate to, that's the pot of gold that everybody is attaching to. And yes, so in this case, if you're a stockholder in a major company, pharmaceutical distributor, and an owner, that's where you're going for the funds, because this is such a global pandemic. That's where the source of funding will come from. Now you're on the recipient side.
And Michael, when President Trump announced, a week or so ago, that we were going to, you know, discontinue the relationship and the funding of the World Health Organization, and obviously the World Health Organization, all these, you know, global governments. But the World Health Organization, there's probably no single individual more prominently involved with that than Bill Gates. So when the president announces, you know what, we're going to discontinue, that was a headshot to Bill Gates. And Bill Gates is centrally involved in all of this, both from, you know, a foundation standpoint, but then also, you know, his investments that he's got in these different pharmaceutical companies as well. So he's, you know, to say that he's conflicted would be an understatement. But this stuff all needs to get played out. And you know, we're kind of in the middle of it. And we look forward to our day in court and playing it out and laying this all out there, right?
Well, we'll have you guys back. When we have you back, hopefully there will have been some action one way or the other in the tax court. I know you guys aren't going to, regardless of what happens, you have options. I understand the mechanisms of the legal system, so I know you still have options. And it's actually, your options might be better if the tax court tells you to take a hike. Your options might be better. You might have more leverage.
We're not stopping. We're going to play it out as the hands are played back to us. That's simple.
And we do have a number of other submissions. I mean, we talked about the Clinton Foundation, but we've got a number of other whistleblower submissions with open claims that remain in play as well. We're involved.
You guys are troublemakers. That's why I like you. You guys are Irish hooligans.
Michael, one final comment. It was, I think it was December, or it was 1773 when those, these, you know, I think it was predominantly a bunch of Irish guys up in Boston that threw the tea overboard.
Yeah.
And, you know, that wasn't all that far away from where, you know, from Whitey and I, where we grew up. And here we are, you know, almost 250 years later. And what was that all about? It was abuse of the tax, you know, tax code by, you know, by the British. Well, and those guys in Boston were pissed off. Well, guess what? There are a couple of other guys from Massachusetts also pissed off. I guess we're, you know,
well,
taking the fight to them as well.
If there was whiskey on that ship, that never would have happened.
You know, Mike, my last comment is you see the current day activities and really what folks are asking for, the ask is equity. That's what they want. And you know what? Silently, we're asking for equity.
Yep.
If the rules say you got to pay tax, you just pay it. It's just that simple. It's not really complicated.
Yep, that's right.
And that's it. So we're hoping that the judge and our judges have the opportunity to see that, and we'll respond accordingly. But thank you for your time, as always.
Michael, it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, guys, thanks. And we'll pick this up at a later date, and we'll see how things play out. So God bless, and thanks for the time.
At LW Doyle USA. Give us a follow.
See, Larry, you're getting good at this. You're working your plugs in. You're becoming a, becoming a pro,
spread
man.
Spread the word. Okay, Michael, thanks very much. It's
all
been
right,
fun.
Gentlemen. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Right, bye. I want to thank John Moynihan and Larry Doyle for taking the time to explain things in depth and really drop a lot of bombs and shine a lot of lights on what's going on here. This underbelly, $1.9 trillion underbelly in the U.S. And I don't think a lot of people understand what the hell's going on. We've only just scratched the surface. And I think it's important to frame this properly, too. These guys, I think, are the two most dangerous guys right now in and around Washington, D.C. I'll tell you why. I've never seen a case like this. Here's the genesis of this case. Okay. These guys file this stuff. They send everybody documentation. It's really, so they use a shotgun approach so they don't have to. They don't have to wait for one agency to do something. They just give it to everybody and see what happens. So these are the people that have run away from the case, literally run away and hid from the case. Jeff Sessions, Huber, the FBI, the IRS, various U.S. attorneys' offices, the U.S. Postal Inspection, Bill Barr. Barr said there's nothing here. Couldn't be further from the truth. I have to listen to my other podcast, I think episode 8. We go all the way back to episode 8 talking about this and so many other. It's all spread throughout the different episode 9. There's just so many episodes where this is spread. There's just so much evidence that they could have put the Clintons away and a lot of their friends like Bill Gates away for a long time. But these folks all ran away from. Oh, yeah. And by the way, like I said, Congress, too, they haven't done squat on this case. There's no criminal referrals, right? This is why Moynihan and Doyle were smart not to give these corruptocrats access to any documentation. They would just sell it out the back door and let everybody cover their own asses like a protection racket. And Moynihan's been around the block undressing and beating up U.S. attorneys in the Southern District of New York when he was running ops at DEA when I was over there running around with the DEA guys. When I was working across the river in Hackensack and New York was part of my beat off and on when there was some shit went down. So the guy's a legend in DEA And what he's done since is even bigger. So these dopes in Congress try to put a lasso around somebody that's for real. They get they get kicked off the... It's like getting kicked off the pony at a birthday party. Anyway, hope you learned as much as I did. We'll have to have those folks back on, of course, and we wish them best of luck in their endeavors. I think that they have certain powerful people boxed into a corner, and I'm curious to see how this plays out. You can benefit us again on True Pundit and also directly at patreon.com/TruePundit and subscribestar.com/TruePundit. And that goes a long way. It allows me to do these kind of things and bring these kind of folks to the forefront where they should be. You think these guys, Fox News, would ever have these guys on? Are you kidding me? People would get fired. It's just not going to happen. So we appreciate the support on those platforms, and it goes a long way in. You heard Mr. Doyle plugging his Twitter account. What is it? LW Doyle USA. I think so. I think that's it. If it's not, yeah, that's got to be it. Let me just double check because I don't want to sound like an idiot. Yeah, LW Doyle USA. And the tag on that is FBH Financial Bounty Hunters. Should be Clinton Financial Bounty Hunters. Informative stuff. And we'll be following up on some of that stuff with stories on True Pundit. We thank you for your time. This was a good one. Another good one. And God bless you. And we appreciate all the notes on my dog Sully. And thank you for everything. God bless you. And we'll see you tomorrow again on Pain in the Morning.